Welcome to 30 Rockers, the original 30 Rock podcast.
We are your hosts, Kenny and Holly Pruitt.
It's getting late, and I am like lying down now. I'm pulling like a full-on Joey Svensson.
It's true. I guess it just means we'll have to get through this episode quickly.
Yeah, the hope is that this episode won't last very long. We'll see if we can keep that hope alive.
We're going for quality over quantity for sure on this episode.
Yeah. Also, we want to get Taco Bell after we finish recording, so.
That's true. Spoiler alert, it's still carb night.
Still carb night. I eat carbs all the time.
3 days later, it's still carb night for me.
I know. It's always carb night for me. I need to get better about that.
Yeah, you know.
I'm working on it.
We're all working on it a little bit.
Some of us more than others. Meaning you.
Yeah.
A lot more than I am.
I mean, I need to a lot more than you do, so.
Well, that's debatable, but.
At least the effort is placed in the right person.
You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
I'm not just saying that. You really are.
No,
you're definitely doing a lot more than I ever could. Because I tried eating low carb. Well, I tried keto. And I literally, like, my body, like, shut down.
I mean, you got past that. It was more your mental capacity.
I'm not. Yeah, the first 2 days I was so sick and like actually threw up from carb withdrawals. Maybe it was like 3 days. One day I literally couldn't get out of bed. It was legit flu symptoms. And then after that, I started going crazy. I think I called you like crying one time. And I was like, I just need carbs. And then I ate a bowl of Cheerios and I felt totally fine after that.
Yeah, like I said, I think it was more your mental health than anything else.
But that was like the only reason I was even doing it too, was like for the mental health side effects.
Yeah, but you didn't do it long enough to receive any. So.
Well, I mean, I received negative side effects in that I literally called you crying over food.
I mean, that's probably not the first time that's happened.
No. Okay, not pregnant. That is absolutely the first time that's ever happened.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Well, I have a better memory than you do, so you can just take my word for it.
Well, if we're going to keep this one short, let's jump into it. Episode 307, Señor Macho Solo.
This episode was written by Rob Weiner and directed by Beth McCarthy. It originally aired January 8th, 2009. And Netflix says this. Jenna fears that Liz's attraction to a new guy, Peter Dinklage, is related to her desire for a baby. Jack helps Tracy and his wife arrange a post-nup.
Yeah, I mean, it covered some of it.
Yeah, just some, not all. Guest stars in this episode were Peter Dinklage and introducing Selma Hayek as Elisa. And then also the page I was on said Billy Bush, but I didn't see Billy Bush.
Yeah.
So
that was also from Wikipedia, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, I mean,
but it hasn't been wrong so far. I've been wrong.
There's always the potential for...
Yeah.
Misinformation. Or maybe we just missed him in the episode.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that... Because, I mean, I would assume he'd just be playing himself, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't recognize anyone resembling Billy Bush.
All right.
One hat for this episode. Night Chicks.
Night Chicks, yeah. That made its appearance during a part of the episode that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Honestly, Tracy was so, like, up and down during this episode, but everything with Angie and Tracy I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
Prefer to Remember Black, literally the funniest thing I've heard all day today. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, you started laughing like in anticipation of it.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Yeah.
Well, before we get into the parts you liked about the episode, let's knock out the 30 Rockers recap.
All right.
It is your turn.
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Liz has baby fever and she's like touching random babies and it's really weird and she touches some guy's head thinking that's a, like a little kid, but it turns around and it's actually Peter Dinklage playing Stuart and he works for the UN and they really like each other, but she can't get over the fact that she thinks he's a kid and so they end up breaking up. And then Jack hires a nurse for his mom and he has a growth on his testicle and it's benign, but he falls in love with Elisa the nurse. And then Jenna wants to do the Janis Joplin picture and it turns out there's a competing film and it's Julia Roberts, and so it all just turns out to be really bad. And Tracy doesn't have a prenup because he was poor.
That was solid. I didn't think you were going to get to the Tracy portion at all, but you squeezed in there
all
at least the mention.
The timer went off, yeah.
Now, you made this claim 2 episodes ago, but if you actually, I'm the one that does the editing, and I did mention all of the storylines in the same capacity you did. Because you didn't finish his storyline. You just mentioned Tracy, that he was in the episode and that something happened with him. You didn't finish it.
That's so true. I guess I did. I prefaced a Blaffer to Remember Black.
Yeah.
Before the recap.
This is true. But it was a solid effort nonetheless.
Well, thank you. I think I did great. I always feel really good about my 30 Rockers recap performances.
You've already shared a couple of things that you enjoyed, revolving around Tracy and Angie.
Yep.
Any other specific likes for the episode?
Salma Hayek's boobs. Like, who has boobs like that?
Well, okay. I didn't write anything down about the boobs. I know in the past I have actually taken notes about some of the breasts that have appeared on screen.
I said, who has boobs like that? It's insane.
Yeah, so I recognized that it was Salma Hayek right away. I asked you, because you always, like, before we watch the episode, look up everything, write down the Netflix description, see what guest stars were for the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily look any of that up beforehand. I usually am able
to. It's
my
one contribution to the show.
I mean, you host as well.
Okay.
You know, I typically will recognize most of the stars that are on, at least the ones that I've seen before, I guess. And so I knew that it was Salma Hayek, but then, as I was just thinking through, like, I don't actually know how I knew that was Salma Hayek, because, like, I don't actually think I've ever seen her in anything. And then it was really shocking to me when she was in that outfit, because her first couple appearances, she was in Scrubs.
Right.
And, like, yeah, she's very beautiful, but, like, I did not realize that she had a rack like that.
Yeah, no, she's got huge boobs. And
they looked pretty natural.
I mean, I think they are. Yeah, it's just insane. It's like what makes everybody sad about their bodies.
I mean, to be fair, you know, she had a professional wardrobe department dress her to look really hot.
Yeah, but I don't think that there's any amount of professionalism that could get my boobs to look like that.
I bet that somebody could make your boobs look like that.
Not that big. They were huge. My boobs are not that big.
They were big. We're in agreement
they
there.
Still are big. She was just at the Oscars and she looked incredible.
Is Salma Hayek the one that breastfed other babies in a foreign country?
Yeah.
Like a baby, like they, like in Haiti or something.
I don't remember where, but yeah, she was like,
I think it was just one
child.
Yeah.
And it was
like a malnourished, like,
yeah.
Kid they
and it was like she was
no
working on,
or
yeah,
something.
She was like working on weaning her daughter, but yeah, like still had milk and just like encountered this like malnourished baby or something and breastfed the baby. I was actually going to say that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that would be my first instinct.
Yeah. I mean, it is actually a really cool story. And I don't know how
I don't know how you know these things. I think that you have a secret Salma Hayek fetish.
I could not name one Salma Hayek movie or show that she's been in.
The first thing that comes to mind is Fool's Russian with Matthew Perry.
Yep. But no,
I think you would like that movie. It's from the 90s.
We danced to Can't Help Falling in Love at our wedding.
That's why I think you would like this song. That's why I think you would like this movie.
That's possible.
I also really like Peter Dinklage a lot.
Yeah, you actually are a pretty big Peter Dinklage fan.
So I have a thing because I was really tall when I was younger. And I'm the same height now, but like, you know, when I was younger, nobody else was as tall as I was. So I always had this insecurity about my height.
Okay.
And then also, like, I ended up just dating short guys somehow. So I was still, like, as an adult, just still, like, insecure about my height.
Okay.
And so I don't think that I could ever, like, bring myself to, like, date a little person. Or I guess, okay, if I was going to date somebody shorter than I was, it would probably be a little person. Honestly.
Okay. That's kind of strange.
But it would only ever be Peter Dinklage.
Okay. So you would date Peter Dinklage?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm glad that you would date one of, if not the most famous little person actor.
He's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
Little person or not.
For sure. Yeah. He's a good looking guy. I don't disagree with you whatsoever. He's
good.
He's yeah. I think he's an elf. I think that's probably actually the first thing I ever saw him in was an elf.
He was an elf, and Buddy calls him an angry elf.
Yes, he does.
In which he responds by
to be fair,
jumping on him.
Buddy grew up around real elves.
And to be
fair,
that's
probably the first little person he's ever seen.
That wasn't an elf. And to be fair, Peter Dinklage did not grow up around elves. And so Buddy calling him an elf is extremely offensive.
Yeah. All of these things are true.
I was just laughing at when we did charades over Thanksgiving and one of your brothers drew elf and I guessed it by him sitting in one of our kids' chairs. Like, he literally grabbed one of our little, like, our kids, like, little tiny toddler chairs and, like, sat down in it. And I was like, elf.
Yeah.
Oh, I like winning.
You do enjoy winning.
What did you like about this episode?
I have written down here that at least Jenna acting crazy is because she's playing a character.
Yeah, and it...
Because when she wasn't what ended up being
Janet Joppler.
Yeah, that's right. Janet Joppler. I have written down here, at least Jenna acting crazy was because she was playing a character. Because honestly, when she wasn't being Janet Joppler, I thought she was actually completely normal in this episode.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good way of like letting Jane Krakowski be silly and over the top without it being like Jenna's back to being insane.
And even her, like, being silly and over the top as Janet Joplin, like, when she was singing, she sounded really good.
Yeah. No, I agree. She actually, I mean, she sounded very much like Janet Joplin.
I liked the whole scene of her doing the pitch for Jack.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Actually was
pretty good. I wrote down here from that scene my favorite line. They had airplanes in the 60s, Jenna.
Yes. I actually really liked, like, most everything this episode. Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. So at the end, when Kenneth is rapping Top That from Teen Witch, oh, just brings back so many memories. And weren't we just talking about Teen Witch?
Yeah, you brought up Teen Witch within the last week, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Teen Witch. My Kenneth note for the episode is that he looks terrified when Tracy and Angie start making love on his desk, but he, like, doesn't
because he grabs his phone
right
off, like, the desk, and so he continues his page duty.
Right. Yeah, but he just looks absolutely terrified.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty fair reaction to what was going on.
Mostly here, as far as things I liked, I just wrote down a couple quotes that I thought were strange and relevant. My exit involves a McFlurry machine and risque commercials from overseas. And then the idea that authoritative, repetitive Spanish subdues white people.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work on me, but I've never had anybody try. Maybe if it was Salma Hayek, it would work.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that she's...
If it was Salma Hayek trying to grab my testicles, I mean...
Yeah, I feel like she's a little deluded by the fact that she's also gorgeous.
Yeah.
So that might have something to do with why people just submit to her.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said, I liked pretty much everything about this episode except Liz.
Yeah, the first note that I wrote down here is Liz oohing and aahing about babies seems out of character. Like, yes, we've seen her with the desire to have a child.
Well, she did steal a baby last season.
And she, like, blacked out, right?
Yeah. But she blacked out from baby fever.
But, like, okay, we've seen Liz with the desire to have a kid. She thought she was pregnant with Dennis's baby, but she wanted a kid bad enough that even with it being Dennis's baby, she was excited about it. And then, you know, she went through the process of trying to get an adoption. And she's multiple times mentioned the desire to be a mom. But she's never acted just insane going around just touching random babies.
Okay, I will say, I don't think it's out of character. I do think it's insane and over the top. I don't think her desire to have children is out of character.
No,
I
didn't say that. Yeah. I said her behavior in this episode where she's like, ooing, like,
stealing baby shoes.
Open,
yeah,
she's ooing and aahing,
like, incapable of listening to Jenna talk to her. Which, and she's talking about a totally normal thing that you would talk to your good friend and your head writer about,
right? Exactly.
Auditioning for a movie.
Yeah. So, like, once again, she's always wanted a baby. I understand that. But her behavior in this episode was just outlandish and ridiculous. And ultimately it was just a plot device.
Yeah.
It was like, we have, like, let's have Peter Dinklage on as a love interest for Liz. Let's come up with a contrived reason as to why she would end up on a, like, in a very Liz Lemon way, end up on a date with a little person.
Yeah. My first note that I have is that Liz's green striped scarf is off-putting.
I didn't even notice her green striped scarf.
I did not like it at all.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I definitely... Okay, so I have a lot of... First of all, I really like Peter Dinklage, and I really like his character, and obviously you're meant to.
Right, yeah.
So what I have a problem with is, one, touching other people's children.
Yeah, don't touch my kid.
Never. Do not touch... Don't touch me. Don't touch other... Don't touch strangers. Like, what are you doing? And then, so yes, that's how you get introduced to Stuart. But then two, after spending time with him, how does she still confuse her, like, biological clock hormones for him as a child? Like, she's gone out on a lunch date and a dinner date with him and was still... just like a slave to her biological clock and was like, oh, buddy, be careful. You know, like, that's nobody, that's not real.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I can understand from behind thinking he's a kid. I can understand on the bridge from behind thinking a kid was him. But yeah, it doesn't make sense, like, you're going to try to pick him up to move him away from fire, or like tell him to look both ways when he crosses the street
after having that
right
like conversation. And so, yeah, that was just really frustrating because I felt like it was a little sexist to that, you know, a woman that wants to have a baby is just so blinded by her desire for a baby that she would literally be incapable of distinguishing a handsome, successful, intellectual little person from a child. Like, after spending time with him, once again, like, I can understand if you're just walking up behind him thinking that he might be a child, especially because he has a shaggy haircut. But, like, after having any conversation with him at all, how could you still think, oh, this is a child? Like, how could you still have that instinct?
I'm not a scientist. I don't know much about instincts necessarily.
Okay.
But, like...
Thank you for prefacing this.
From my understanding, there are... subconscious instinctual things that kick in that you don't have conscious control of. Like, you can hear someone else's baby cry and know that it's not your kid, and if you're breastfeeding, like, get a letdown from it. Correct? Like, I'm yeah. sort of asking.
Oh, you. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes, that can happen.
You've never experienced that. No. So, I mean, like, there are things when it's like, even though your conscious mind knows the reality of what's going on, your body still responds with its instinctual response. So, I'm not justifying it, but that to say, I think people get in situations all the time. This isn't necessarily a scientific perspective, but I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they had on a guy that was, he was just talking about beliefs in general, and he talked about how sometimes what you say you believe and what you, like, even know you believe isn't what you actually believe, because when push comes to shove, the way you behave is actually, like, what you believe. The example he gave was, nobody consciously believes that if an intruder was in their home and they hid under a blanket, that the blanket would keep them safe from a knife attack. But if you hear a sound in the middle of the night, your instinct is to hide under the sheets. Even though you know in your conscious mind that, like, I'm not protected under these covers. But for whatever reason, that's your instinctual reaction to the situation.
What I'm getting out of this conversation is that we have to remember to set our home security at night.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the logical conclusion that you would get from that comment.
With my crazy mind.
But I agree with you. Listen to this episode, a little crazy, a little bit outlandish. Honestly, most of it to me was very Liz Lemon. The part to me that just was like really bizarre was that we've seen her with a big desire to have a kid, but I haven't just seen her like
lose her mind. Well, other than blacking out and kidnapping a baby.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's true.
One thing that I wrote down that I forgot to say was, okay, so the word biopic, I've heard that, you know, heard it dozens, hundreds of times.
Right. Yeah.
But up until maybe a year ago, maybe a little less than that.
Okay.
Whenever I would see it written down, I thought it said biopic, and I did not know that they were the same word. It's like I had never in my mind envisioned how you would spell biopic. So when I would see it written out, I thought it said biopic and did not put two and two together until a few months ago.
I can't say that I've ever seen it written out, but biopic is definitely an abbreviation of two words. So I don't understand why. I'm not doubting.
Now I'm doubting myself.
That is the way it's written, but I'm not understanding why something that was an abbreviation of two words, which would be a biographical picture.
Yeah.
Why that being shortened to biopic is now being written as one word. I can understand if it's even like a hyphenated abbreviation, bio hyphen pic. But like to write it out, you're right. In the English language, it would not be pronounced biopic. It would be pronounced biopic.
So I'm not crazy, but I still felt really stupid once I realized.
Well, that's just silly. Like, that's not a word.
I mean, it is like a word now.
I mean, it has become a word, but like that doesn't mean like it's an abbreviation. Like, it's an abbreviation of two words. I guess you could even, like, make it a contraction if you wanted.
So put an apostrophe?
Yeah. B-I-O apostrophe P-I-C.
Well, that's how I'm going to start writing it from
biopic.
Now on. Biopic. Biopic.
It's a contraction. It's two words put together. Biopic.
I write biopic so often in my life.
But then actually as a stay-at-home would pronounce mom. It biopic. Because like you change the pronunciation, then it would be pronounced biopic. But then it's like, what are you saying? Oh, you know, like a biographical picture.
I'm just really glad that I figured all this out on my own without ever just making a complete asshat of myself in front of other people.
And saying like, oh, I really want to see the new biopic about
y'all Ray seen that Kroc. Biopic, Ray? I don't know. I just like to read a lot. And maybe I was just reading too much into it. I don't know how I figured. I think it just clicked one day. I was like reading. I was like, oh, this says biopic. Like every time I'm hearing biopic and reading biopic, they're the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, Once again, I don't know that I've ever seen it written out to have had this thought occur to me.
Yeah. You're lucky then. Just count yourself lucky. I guess I didn't have to tell the story to out myself as a dummy. But I did. So you're welcome.
Speaking of counting. Let's tally up our points for this episode and get into ratings.
I lost my pen, so I'm just going to have to try to remember this one. I'm probably lying on it.
Yeah, I mean, you are lying down.
You forced me to go first last time. I'm going to assume this isn't a perfect 30 and force you to go first this time.
Okay.
I'm putting my foot down.
I will, I'll say it was a solid episode. I didn't really like Liz. I'll give each of Selma Hayek's breasts a perfect 10 and give this episode a 20.
I actually am going to give it a 20 also.
Look at that.
On my own. I was like thinking I liked it more because of a Blaffaire to Remember Black. I was thinking.
I think that got at least one whole point. Would have been a 19 without that line. That one line gave it an extra point.
I was thinking I liked it more than the Christmas special, but I didn't, and I am remiss to say that I gave it a 22. I have to rate this one lower, and I think a 20 is a fair rating. Because, I didn't like Liz in this episode, even if she was paired with Peter Dinklage, who I thought was just a gem.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's a solid episode.
Yeah. Solid episode of sitcom television.
I enjoyed it. A Blaffaire to Remember Black.
If people want to give us their opinions on a Blaffaire to Remember Black, on Selma Hayek's breasts, on Senior Macho Solo, how can they get a hold of us?
They can contact us on social media at 30 Rockers Pod, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We also have a website, 30rockers.com. You can email us, contact@30rockers.com. Or you can literally let your voice be heard by calling us and leaving a voicemail at 754-30-ROCK-1. All of our episodes are listed on our website, but they're also available on any podcast app. So find us, subscribe. If you use iTunes, rate and review us because it makes us feel good.
We should have used that line in the episode reunion. Reunited and it feels so good. Well,
funny you should say that because when I, the social media liaison, tweeted about the reunion episode, that is what I said.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know.
Maybe you should be more into Twitter.
I only go on Twitter one time a day and it's not to read a single tweet. It's just to post one tweet from my other podcast.
There you go. Which should be making its return soon.
Yeah, I have to find time to, with everything else that's going on in my life.
Yeah, new job, a new 3-year-old.
Two episodes of 30 Rockers.
Applying for college. I mean, this is just. But it sounds like you're going to be starting school here next month or the month after.
This like really weird program that's like
a real
apparently
thing.
I can get a degree in like a year if I
an associate's
really
degree
hard. Yeah, like,
but then it's also a bachelor's program and it's meant to like you get your associate's while you're working towards your bachelor's.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's fully like accredited. It's a real university that just has this like satellite program. I don't know,
it's
really
like
cool
a program that my employer like partnered with them to make all of its employees eligible to participate in it. So,
and because you work for such a huge company, it's free.
Yeah, like with their tuition reimbursement and like, yeah, it ends up covering the entire thing. So it's kind of like I have no excuse to not take advantage of it.
So I spent $11,000 in student loans to not get a degree from community college.
Yeah.
And you'll spend $0 to get a bachelor's degree from a real university.
It's true.
So chew on that.
Until next time, for 30 Rockers, I'm Kenny.
And I'm Holly.
And remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.